Welcome to everybody to the Friday night Inner Space Covent Garden talk. Our talk this evening is Avoid Distractions, Increase Focus. And we do live in a world full of distractions. And sometimes it does feel a little difficult to stay focused, particularly if our focus is needed for a longer period of time. And when so many of us are working hybrid, working from home, working perhaps prior to this week, going into the office once a week, once every few weeks or a couple of times a week, we found that we're dealing with a whole series of new challenges and distractions. I know that that's been the case for me, and so I'm sure many others have felt it. So how do we stay focused, particularly as research shows that after we get distracted, it takes up to 23 minutes to refocus? That's quite something, you know. So it's not just that my mind's flittered off or someone's interrupted me or the phone's gone and distracted me, but then for a chunk of time after that, I'm not able to bring my mind back and be completely focused. So tonight we've asked Parul Shah. Parul is an IT consultant, but she's also a life coach. She's been meditating since her teens and has been now practicing for over 40 years. So we've invited Parul to join us and share how her techniques on how to avoid distractions. That's number one, avoid them. But then secondly, how to increase focus. What are the tools that we can use to stay focused and increase our focus? The Parul is going to share for around 40 minutes, and then following that, she's going to do a short guided meditation. And then after that, she'll be taking your questions. We'd like to invite you to send in your questions through the question and answer link. And I would be very happy to put your questions to her on your behalf. Parul, welcome. Thank you. Over to you.
So thank you, Aarti. And thank you, or I should say a warm welcome, good evening to all the people who've joined us. And just also to say, you know, yes, it's great that we can still meet on Zoom or YouTube or other ways, even though, you know, we're all in our different places. So I really do appreciate that in terms of technology. And I'd like to sort of maybe start off by talking about how do we know that we're distracted? Because sometimes we're not even aware that we are distracted. And it's good to sort of watch ourselves, be aware of these signs for ourselves. And just, you know, when I go through some of these things, think about, do they apply to me? And if they do, then, you know, maybe, you know, there are things there that you are being distracted, signs that you're being distracted, and maybe there's something to do there. So one of the things that I know for myself is sometimes when people are talking, am I really listening and understanding what they're saying, you know, or is my mind somewhere else? And it's only when we really hear what people are saying that we are connected. So paying attention to what someone else is saying. Another one, which is really interesting, is, am I easily bored? Do I get so, you know, it's just something's happening and I'm bored and I then sort of want to move on to something else. So it's like my attention span has reduced and I just, whatever it is, I get bored and I want to move on to the next thing. And so I'm not able to concentrate. Do I procrastinate and put things off? You know, I was thinking for myself that, you know, when I'm procrastinating, one of the reasons that I may be procrastinating is I'm bored. It's not pulling me anymore. So it's like I may need to do some filing at home. You know, there's lots of papers and I need to file them, but I'm just putting it off. And so that lack of concentration, that lack of focus, am I tired? And I'm not talking about physically tired, but mentally tired. Because when I'm mentally tired, what it means is my mind has been busy running here, there, and everywhere. And so it's like, I'm tired. And so, you know, think about it for yourself. And I really think a really practical thing that, you know, you may notice yourself doing, again, shows signs of being distracted, is we try and do two things at once. So, you know, when I've had some family or friends coming home and maybe, you know, we're just watching something on the television, and I notice that we're watching a film or we're watching something on television, and then every so often they want to look at their phone and see who's messaging them and what's going on social media. And it's like, where is their concentration? When people are eating, you know, are they on their phone as well, or are they watching the telly? So there is no concentration on one activity. And one of the reasons that, you know, people are becoming obese or overweight is because whilst they're eating, I think, is they're not focusing on the food they're eating, they're chewing, they're enjoying that, but it's like their mind is distracted to the phone or the television. And something else that caught my eye, and whilst I've been researching this subject, and I've now started doing it, is when I'm going for a walk, I would quite often be listening to a podcast, or I would be talking and making my phone calls. And I realized that that's, again, doing two things together. And so I have now just go for a walk without my headphones. And I must say, I enjoy that time being with myself. So these are just some of the signs of being distracted and, you know, the energy or the focus being in lots of different places. And so think for yourself, you know, do you have any of this? And maybe that's a reason why we're distracted. And what is the result or effect of being distracted? Like Aarti mentioned, it takes 23 minutes to get back in focus. So just think about it, you know, we've got this essay to write or this project to complete or whatever it is. And every time I get distracted by that ping on the phone or that email, how long it's going to take me to come back into focus, and how much of my time is then maybe wasted. Also, you know, think about it in terms of, we've been talking about light, so let's just think about it in terms of light. And when my attention is scattered, you know, it's a bit like that light is scattered. And there isn't that clarity. And so what happens is that, so it's scattered, it hasn't got that power. And if the light is focused, so think about the magnifying glass and you've got paper underneath and the light is focused, you can see how much power there is. It's going to burn that paper, it will start heating up that paper and burn that paper when you put the magnifying glass between the sun and the paper. So that power there. And also, you know, when the light is focused, maybe a bit like the laser, then just think that laser is so useful in doing so much goodness in terms of, say, even laser surgery. Now, if the light is scattered, they can't do that surgery with that light. It has to have a real focus. And so when my energy is scattered, my thoughts are scattered, then it's like that clarity, that attention is not there, that power is not there. And like we talked about it, you know, the result is my jobs will be half done, the tasks will be half done. Because I've not had time, it wouldn't be properly complete. So many results of being distracted. So why am I distracted? Let's just focus a little bit on why I'm distracted before we start to talk about how we get back onto focus. So why am I distracted? I'm going to ask you, you know, when you first wake up in the morning, what do you pick up? And I think that majority, if not all, would pick up their phone and would pick up their phone, switch it on if it's not already on, and maybe it's the phone that's waking you up in the first place anyway. But you will pick up your phone and you will look at any messages, any emails, maybe the latest news, and that's what's going to come. So screen. Then you're going to go and have your breakfast, and maybe whilst you have your breakfast, again, you'll have something going on the screen. You may go for a jog or a walk or an exercise, and again, you'll be playing something from that phone, whether it's music or anything else. Then you will go to work, and you're going to be spending maybe, depending on your work, time on the screen. You come home, or even whilst you're traveling, you might have some screen time. And it's interesting, on the tube, I've seen people watching movies all the time. I know in the olden days, before we had our phones, we used to read books. And then, you know, again, in the evening, before you go to bed, screen time. Right? So just think about it for yourself. How much time do you spend on the screen? There was someone who did a little exercise for themselves, and what they did was they limited the amount of time they were on a screen, and they did it in two ways. One was they did an experiment where they only allowed themselves 1 hour on the screen every day, and of course if they were working, that's what they needed to do, but anything on their phone, they were only going to allow themselves 1 hour, whether it was the phone calls they needed to make or the messages they needed to send or receive, but just 1 hour. And let's split it, you know, 20 minutes here, 10 minutes there, but just a maximum of 1 hour. And they noticed, you know, of course, it was an addiction to begin with, and they had to sort of withdraw from that addiction, but they noticed how much their ability to concentrate had increased. So it's like, and then another exercise that someone else did was to spend 1 hour every day. And this is maybe something that we can all try, something that will help us to get from distraction to focus, is 1 hour every day. Let's not look at a screen of any kind, no podcast, no music, no screen, nothing. Let me just do something quite simple, 1 hour every day where I'm free from this. And notice how your attention span increases. I know from what I've just shared, that when I go for a walk now, and I enjoy walking, I have stopped listening to anything. I have stopped making those phone calls, and I'm enjoying that company. And maybe for some of you too, you'll have an idea of this in terms of being away from screen time, is, you know, when we go for a shower or we spend time in the bath, that time we don't usually have screens with us, but that is the time that we will have those creative ideas pop into our mind. And so in the same way, when we do things without screen time, it's like we're allowing our mind to be creative, we're allowing the ideas from within to flow. So what is actually making me distracted is I am taking things from outside in. So when I'm talking about in, I'm talking about inside myself, in my psyche, in my mind, in who I am. And so when I'm looking at the screen, when I am listening to someone, when I'm hearing something, when I'm tasting something, all of that is stuff going in. So it's what's from outside in. And just think about it from a, say, maybe even a food perspective. So if you are constantly eating, just taking in, taking in, taking in, the end result is we'll have constipation or diarrhea, right? Just constantly eating, 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 we're going to have constipation or diarrhea. And so this is what's happened to us, is we're allowing this external stimuli, whether it's what I see, what I hear, what I touch, what I eat, what I smell, all of these things just constantly going in, and they are constipating or creating diarrhea inside me. Because what I'm not doing is I am not allowing time for digestion. I am not allowing time for reflection. I am not allowing time to just be. So it's like, and when we talk about that outside in, it's like we're not even putting a filter up. Or maybe that filter over time has become one with bigger and bigger holes in it. And so we're not even being aware of what we're taking in. Let me give you an example. I don't know whether you've noticed, and I just, you know, in the past couple of weeks, what I've noticed in the media is there is so much fear that has been created around this latest version of the virus. And all I see and all I hear is how scary, how bad, how much it's spreading around. And what it's, I can sense is in conversations with friends and family, is it's creating fear. And so what's happening is I need to be aware of that filter that I am putting in place in terms of what I'm filtering in into myself, what I'm saying, no, I don't need to think about that. That's not necessary for me. That's not important for me. But we just keep on taking everything in. And this then creates anxiety, fear, worry. And what happens then is that with that anxiety, worry, I'm not able to focus, because that's what's at the forefront of my mind. And that becomes like that lake. So think about the lake. And when it's a calm day and the lake is completely still, it becomes very clear. And I can actually see what's inside, the stones, the pebbles, the fish, whatever it is, but it's very, very clear. But when it's a windy day and there's a bit of a storm around and the water's really, you know, mixing around and a bit like a tornado, then it's like it becomes very dark and I can't see within the lake. The clarity has gone. And so if I don't put a filter and I take everything inside, or I'm taking the majority of the stuff inside, then I am creating that darkness inside, that confusion inside, that I can't really see clearly. And we talked about it, then decisions are harder to make. And because of that confusion, I will make mistakes too. And then it's like more time trying to sort it out. So that filter is very important. And it's really taking ownership of what I am eating. So, you know, it's like just going back physically to the eating example. we're all aware of the food that is right for our bodies. We know what is healthy and we know what is unhealthy. And do I do the same for my mind, for my psyche? Do I say, you know, this is healthy and yes, let me take that in? Or do I just take everything in without thinking? And then no wonder, you know, my mind is all over the place. And I like a term that I had learned when I was first studying IT, and they talk about garbage in, garbage out. And so without a filter, if I'm taking all of these things in, then of course, you know, what's going to be coming out of me? So really, to go from distraction to focus, what are some of the things that I need to do is increase the time without the screen. Really see if you can do, and you know, 1 hour, of course, if it's your work time, it's different, but 1 hour, give yourself that time when you don't have a screen in front of you. When you're eating, you know, eat without the television, eat without the phone. One of the things I practice is I put the phone outside the bedroom when I go to sleep. So even when I wake up, you know, it's not the phone that's going to be waking me up. I have a separate alarm clock. The second thing is something that I think is really important in terms of focusing. When you find yourself being distracted, focus on your breath. Just for 5 minutes, just put everything, you know, to the side, close your eyes and focus on your breath. Just be aware of your breathing in all the way up to your abdomen and then slowly breathing out. And yes, there's a lot of people who say breathe in for four, breathe out for four, whatever works for you. But all I'd say is just slowly breathing in and feeling that air going in right the way to the bottom of your abdomen, and then slowly breathing out. Just practice that for 5 minutes and see how it calms your mind and starts to bring focus in. Read a book, and I'm talking about read a physical big book, slowly and with attention. I find that this, you know, it's like when we read little stories, or we read news items, or we read little blogs and things like that, it's like very fleeting. And our, again, it's that aspect of our attention is, you know, I've read it, I've got bored, I move on to something else. But all of these aspects are about allowing ourselves to come back into focus and to increase our concentration, increase the time we're in focus. Think about, I mean, of course, everyone is of different age, but I remember when I was younger, there were no, you know, there were no mobiles and there were no televisions. In fact, we didn't even have a television in our household when I was young, and no computers, of course. And I remember, you know, it was like, I was much more focused on whatever it is I was doing. You know, it could be that, you know, the book I was reading or the conversation I was having, just took my time over it and absolutely enjoyed it. So the world probably at the moment says, you know, get as much information and get, you know, be aware of everything around you. But, you know, where has that taken me? And so maybe just again, this aspect of awareness. So when I'm saying read a big book, just read it slowly with attention, with awareness, and then notice the difference it's creating in your concentration, in your awareness, and in your focus as you, you know, over the next week or so. Don't cram your day with doing. allow time to just be. You know, how, you know, we, again, it goes back to what Arthi said, 20 minutes or 23 minutes it takes to get back into focus. And that's where we waste the time. And then we're just constantly doing and doing and correcting and putting it right. Just take time out and just be, whether it's going for a walk or sitting on the park bench or, you know, just watching the world go by, but just be, and again, without all these devices that we have. The other aspect I would say, and probably the most important aspect I would say that has helped me in being able to focus, is learned how to meditate. And there is no right or wrong, and it's different for everyone. But I would really suggest to for you to learn how to meditate. What we offer, and you can check out the Inner Space website, and I'm sure they'll have courses again starting in the new year, is what the meditation course offers is it offers an understanding of how my mind works. So I am, you know, it's a bit like what we talked about earlier, is my mind is going here and my mind is going there, and what I'm seeing here and what that person is saying there and what's happening there. And it's like I have stopped being the master of my mind. It's like the mind, like the, you know, distracted child just wants this, that, the other, and, you know, it's not focused at all. But with meditation, I am learning to be the master of my mind. And notice we say my mind. So it's I becoming the master of the mind. And when I, and for me, that I'd like to use the word spirit whisperer or soul whisperer, because we'll have all have heard of the word horse whisperer, and where, you know, this person calmly, slowly manages to train the horse, manages to become, you know, calm down the horse, manages to become the master of the horse, and the horse then listens to them. In the same way, we're becoming our whisperer of our own spirit. And it's like I'm slowly starting to take the reins. And then it's that filter, I'm able to apply that filter to be able to say, okay, that's not where I want to go. Yes, that's where I want to go. That's something I'm interested in. And that's not what I really want to think about or see or take in. And then I'm able to choose what it is that I want. So I understand how my mind works. I understand what to put in and what not to allow to be taken in. And the third most important aspect is I am able to empower myself. So I see that as that power and that magnifying glass we talked about, which collects the energy, which is powerful, rather than the energy that is scattered and there is no power to it. So absolutely, I think in today's world, learning to meditate is the most important aspect. Another aspect that I'd like to say is, now just think about the contrast. When someone is calm, when someone is focused, when someone is, maybe I'd use the word still, and there's a situation that comes in front of them, how would they respond? And maybe you look at yourself when you're still, when you're calm, how will you respond? And when, you know, your energy is scattered and you're all over the place and you know, and something's happening, you're just going to be even more all over the place. You know, why is this happening? And how is this happening? And who did that? And how did they do that? And why did it happen? Whilst when you are in that focused and attentive way, you're still, you're calm. And then whatever the situation that comes to us, and we are living in a world where more and more things are, in a sense, becoming fragile, whether it's the weather, whether it's the economic situation, whether it's the political situation, whether it's, you know, even within family and friends, and how, you know, tempers and irritation and all of that is all becoming, people's nature is becoming fragile. Within all of that, what is going to help me? And if I join them in becoming distracted, then it's not going to help any of us. But for me to stay calm, for me to stay centered, for me to stay focused is what is going to help me. And so if I were to reiterate some of the ways that I can harness and stay focused, harness my concentration, my attention, and stay focused, is key is the meditation, because that understanding gives me the understanding of who I am. It gives me the power to be able to choose what I want. And so I become that spirit whisperer, and I am the master of myself. And when I do that, there are so many benefits to that, because I start to get to know myself, and I'm able to stay centered. And I'm able to apply those filters. So that for me is the key. Then other things that have helped me over time is focusing on my breath. So, you know, something's happened and I'm not able to focus, I'm not able to still my mind, then concentrate on my breath and just do that for 5 minutes. And the other things which I've talked about is, you know, maybe an hour a day away from the screen, reading a book, doing things whilst I'm listening and I'm paying attention. All of those things will slowly over time help me to get back to that focus, help me to get back to that attention. And so just maybe look at your life and see, evaluate for yourself some of the things that you feel will help you and make a difference in your life. Because ultimately is, how much do you want it? And you will only do it if you really want it. Otherwise, it's lovely words, and yes, it's a really nice idea, but I really need to want it. I really need to have that. And I'd say, you know, it's once you've tasted it, once you've tasted that silence. Actually, that reminds me, silence is another one that takes me from distraction to focus and allows me to increase that attention and, yeah, absolutely increase it. And that silence is where actually I'm physically not sort of going to talk for half a day. Now, of course, everyone is different and in your timetable. And I do this every so often. And I'm sure you've heard it about Buddhist monks or retreats that they have for certain spiritual organizations, where they sort of talk about, you know, a couple of days of silence or a week of silence. And can you imagine, no phones, no screens, not talking to anyone. Someone was telling me that they'd been to this particular retreat where all they had to do was they were all sitting in a room, but they were all facing the wall. So each one was facing the wall and they were looking at the blank wall. Someone had asked, can I just bring a poster and paste it there? And they said, no, it's just a blank wall. And maybe you can't do it for, you know, a day, a week, half a day, but try it for an hour and just look at a blank wall for 1 hour. And it's that silence, inner silence. It's like I am not taking things from outside anymore. And slowly, slowly, I will be starting to look what's going on inside. And it's those moments now when I'm going inside that I'm getting to know myself. And in that getting to know myself, it's like that aspect of me starts growing. And that's where that attention, that focus, that power comes from. So yes, I will add silence. And maybe it's not even silence and staring at a wall, but just say to yourself one Saturday or Sunday morning and saying, for the next 4 hours, I'm not going to say anything. So no phone calls, no watching at the screen, no nothing, but just some time with myself. Because we've forgotten that the seed, the essence, is who we are. It's that spirit. And it's like everything that we do at the moment takes us away from it, you know, these distractions, because it's what I see, what I hear. And it's within, when I change that eyes to look outside and I change them to look inside, that's where that focus comes in. That's where that attention comes in. And so maybe what we should do is we should do a little bit of meditation and just allow ourselves to get a taste of what it means to just become silent, make the mind still, and then notice my concentration, notice where my attention is. And of course, it's not going to change in 5 minutes, but do it regularly and see the difference that it makes to you. So maybe let's start off with some breathing and just becoming aware of our breath. So I'd say maybe close your eyes. And if you want to keep them open, maybe look at that picture behind me. It's just a picture of a point of energy. And take a deep breath in and watch that breath go all the way to your abdomen, your belly, and then slowly and gently release it. And just focus on the breath, nothing else. Breathe in. And breathe out. Breathe in. And breathe out. A couple more times. Breathing in. And breathing out. Last time, breathing in. And breathing out. Notice how you feel inside of yourself. Notice if your mind has become stiller. And now let's do some meditation. And meditation is really directing my thoughts, creating thoughts that lead me to an experience. And it's creating rather than someone else feeding it to me. So all I'd say is just, I'll say, give you some guided thoughts, and maybe you can repeat them for yourself. And become aware that you're not just this physical body, but there is an energy within you. And this energy, like the light we were talking about earlier, is who you are. And this light is behind the eyes. And just see this light like a star, very still, very stable, shining brightly. Radiating, sparkling light. Just hold on to that idea and let your concentration, attention be on keeping that light bright and sparkling. If you find your thoughts go anywhere else, gently bring them back to this light that you are. And the longer you hold that focus, the more you will start to feel the peace that is emanating from that light, the stillness, the silence. And then slowly become aware again. Maybe the chair you're sitting on, the room that you're in. But notice that stillness within. Thank you. And I hope there's a few ideas that you'll take today and maybe practice and note the focus and attention it brings to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Carol. That was very beautiful. Questions have been coming in. So let me begin with the first one. How do you develop a healthy relationship with your email inbox? I must check my emails 100 times a day, yet never feel like I have enough time to get through them all properly.
I think it's like, it depends what it is. So for work, you know, I can't do anything about it in terms of work. And what I try and do is I don't need to answer every email. We think we need to answer every email, but we don't really need to answer every email. You know, note how many emails that I would have sent to others, but by the time they've replied, I've moved on. So again, you know, and it's like if I create a habit of replying to every email, then I'm creating an expectation out there that they will get a reply to every email. And so, you know, sometimes leave something for a couple of days and it will not be an issue anymore. That's what I would suggest. The other thing that I've done on my WhatsApp is, you know, there was this blue, or there is that blue ticks to show you've read it. I've actually removed that, you know, notification, so nobody knows when I've read it, and so it doesn't matter. I don't have to respond instantly, because previously people would have seen that I'd read that WhatsApp message, and why wasn't I responding to it? So again, I think that focus and that clarity gives us an understanding of what is important and what can wait or keep or doesn't need answering.
Thank you. Thank you. I find that I will personally, I only just check my emails twice in the space of 4 hours. That way, if I can respond to what I need to, I do. And that allows me to get on with what I need to do. So I absolutely agree with you. Find a way of managing so you don't feel you need to respond instantly.
And you know, haven't we got stuck in a world where, you know, we expect answers immediately? It's like, you know, and we have to move away from that. Because the pressure we put on people when we send an email and we think that we want a response immediately. So the same pressure we feel. And so maybe it's just learning to, it's an email. It can take a day or two if needed to get that response.
I agree. Lovely. Next question, something that you talked about, the media and the fear that it creates. And the question is, why does the media exaggerate and make us live in fear?
It's their job.
We can believe, or do we filter it all out?
Is there anything we can believe, or do we filter it all out? I think it's really for each one of us to sort of decide for ourselves. There, you know, it's like the media's job is to sell, you know, how many likes do they get, how many people read their page, how many times that's been forwarded on. They are in a competition, because the more people that will read their whatever it is, news bit, or news bite, I should say, then the more advertising revenue they will get. So I think sometimes they're not interested in what the truth is or what is the right thing. They just want to sell, and they want you to read it and pass it on. And so we all have to decide, you know, do I want to spend 1 hour a day reading the news, sharing the news, watching the news? Or do I just want to get like a 3-minute update on it, glance through it, and then that's it? So the world we live in, everyone likes negative things. Everyone likes stories that are painful. People have suffered. Things are bad. If there was a newspaper that had a whole page of just good news stories, people don't want to read them anymore because they're not spicy enough and they wouldn't make money on that. So it's really, we live in a world where everyone wants some, you know, very spicy things, and that's what the media is providing. But if now I choose that I don't want those things, then I don't need to read them.
Thank you. Next question. This is an interesting distraction, the person's putting forward as an idea. I find past events distract me more than anything. What someone said or a mistake I made, etc. I find myself replaying them in my head and also play the scenario of what I should do to fix it, etc. So how to stop this kind of distraction? I can't suppress it.
So something that someone shared with me many years ago, and it's always stayed with me. And you're absolutely right. Things that haven't gone well, things that haven't had a good closure, sometimes play again and again in our mind. And the best way that, you know, one of the ways that person suggested to me, and it's really helped me, is asking myself the question, how can I do differently next time? So I can't change the past. If I've hurt someone, if I've done something that's been a mistake or an error, I can't change it. It's done. But what can I do differently next time? And together with that, one of the things that I've also liked is, you know, just whether it's my fault or not, the moment I have said sorry to someone or apologized, you know, realistically, not just for the sake of it, but with feeling, that thing has then stopped biting my conscience within. So it's like just accept, you know, it's like the other day someone was telling me, oh, but you should have done it that way, and you should have done it the other way, and you should have done this. And rather than fight it, and rather than feel upset and hurt about it, and then it would constantly, I'd be remembering it, my mind saying, you know, they're just like this or they're just like that. It's just, I said, okay, yes, I'll do that next time. And it was like putting a full stop. So find a way to put a full stop to that continuous thinking about the past. And whether it's saying sorry or whether it's asking yourself, how can I do differently next time? Find a way to put a full stop. Hope that helps.
Thank you. I'm just wondering, to bounce off this question, what if you keep making the same mistake, even though you've looked at different methods, but you still allow, I guess, I'm going to use the word, you allow yourself to make that mistake.
And I think it's going back to maybe something we covered in the talk, is to do with how much do I want to change? How much do I want to make a different outcome? So, you know, it's like, what is my will in terms of getting a new outcome? And it's a bit like, let me talk about it in a very practical way. And if you're driving, and I'm in London, say, excuse me, just give me a second. So I'm in London. How much do I want to drive to, say, Leicester? If I'm really, that is my aim of getting to Leicester, then I will be focused on getting to Leicester and not caught by the sightseeing. But if I'm, you know, not, yes, I want to get to Leicester, but yes, you know, I'm not quite sure, and I'll maybe pop into Watford and pop into Milton Keynes and, you know, see, and maybe then get to Leicester. Do you see, it's how much do I want to change? So let me tell you something. I had an interesting relationship with my sister. And we've always had a little bit of a clash. You know, we're both very strong-minded people. We're both good in our own way. We're both right in our own way. But we're chalk and cheese in terms of what we feel is important. Does that make sense, Arthi? Okay, I'm sure it does.
Sorry, yes, it does. Sorry, it's on mute.
And so we'd always have a little bit of a clash just because our ideas were different. And it was really upsetting me. And for a long time, I used to sort of in my mind think, why does she do this to me? Why does she behave in this way? Until one day I decided it didn't matter. And that it's like, how much did I want to move away from it? And I decided, no matter what, I'm just going to feel good about her and only in my mind reflect on the goodness that she has, rather than think about, oh, why this, why that, why the other. For 3 months, I was so attentive on it, and it changed our relationship. So it's how much do I want it?
Thank you.
So any change, how much do I really want it? My will, my desire for that.
Very interesting. How much do I want it? It's a good question to ask yourself. This question, I hope I can put another question to you. This, we'll try and make this the last one, as we're out of time. But I love the idea of a spirit whisperer. What kind of conversation do you have with yourself when you feel so compelled to look at your phone or allow yourself to be distracted?
And I think this is where the meditation comes in. And as part of what I do some spiritual reading or spiritual, study every day. And I take, it's like I set myself some kind of goal every day, some kind of focus for the day. And so if it's like, that is my focus, and it's again my will, how much do I want that? So it's like when I have a spare moment, rather than going to the phone, I'm going to the goal or the focus I've set myself for the day. So let me talk about some simple things. Every year, I set myself up with one particular aspect, that quality or virtue that I'm going to focus on. And that's like a whole year thing. And so for the coming year, something that I've already started doing is focusing on sweetness. And so it's like I'm giving myself the goal of just being sweet. And I'm not talking about sweet as in, sickly sweet, but it's just that, what does sweetness mean? How do I be sweet with myself, my kind, compassionate with myself? How do I bring that in my relationships and connections with people? So in that same way, every day I take a little something that I'm going to be focusing on or thinking about. And so it's like I've given myself an aim for the day. So rather, when I've got a moment, rather than going to the phone, I slowly train my mind to go back to what was my focus or aim for that day. And maybe to start off with, just put your phone away. I have my phone on silent when I'm working, because, I don't need to think about it or look at it. But like Aarti says, every few hours I'll have a look, and if there's something I need to attend to, then I'll do. But otherwise, it's out of, not near me, not around me. I think we've just got into the habit of having the phone with us, which is not very helpful.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's been a very interesting.
I just wanted to say thank you for giving me the opportunity to be with you and having such a lovely evening together.
Thank you very much, Paro, for your sharings. And I think we wore your throat out a little by the end of it. But thank you.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what happened there. But I think, no, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure and lovely to have a chat with you and the audience.
And I want to say thank you to the audience. The audience has been, through the chat, sending in many thank yous. People have found the talk interesting and insightful. And that's just two of the words that are coming up, but very, very practical. And thank you to the audience for joining us.